We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team, for bringing us in today. I want to turn your attention very quickly to the book of Luke, and I want to begin chapter 14 and beginning in verse 16. As you're finding that scripture and the kids are being dismissed, I realize that there is a propensity, a desire to hype up a year. I've heard people say even recently, and I know that somebody is here preaching, somebody's somewhere preaching right now, the title of their message is More in 24. Got to be somebody preaching More in 24, which I don't doubt that or deny that. I believe God's going to give us more in 24. And we hear people claiming and blabbing and grabbing and prophesying, God's going to do this in 24, God's going to do that, it's going to be a year of this, a year of that. But I want to just encourage you before I get into what God has for me to say, I want to encourage you today that if you keep doing the same thing you're doing, you're going to get what you got in 23. Really, what's going to make the difference is you making a decision to change, lay some stuff down, pick up the cross, follow him. You can't make bad decisions and hope that this year is going to be the year that everything's just going to randomly and magically fall into place. But I promise you, if you start making some good decisions today, by the end of this year, that promise, that hope will be fruition. I promise it. I can guarantee it, actually. That if you begin to walk in what God has called you to walk in and do what God has called you to do, 2024 is going to be your year. But it'll be the year that you made a decision to do something different than you did before. And it won't be because the year is special or this is some kind of special moment with God. No, listen, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God ain't changing. We the ones that's changing. The promises that God has for you, they've always been for you. God's not about to do something. God already did something. I know some of y'all don't like that because you like hocus pocus and you like a lot of, you know, over-spiritualism, but that's a problem with the church today. We're over-spiritualized, under-educated. We always want to feel something. Want to feel. Let me feel. Let me feel. And trust me, we're a church of feeling. I like to feel. Some of y'all felt something already you can't explain. I like to feel. But when you're done feeling, what you going to do out there? When you wake up, somebody's phone's ringing right now. Hallelujah. That's just confirmation of the Holy Ghost. I'm dialing somebody's number. When you lose the feeling of Sunday, what are you going to do on Monday? That's why he said, I'm looking for worshipers that are worship me in spirit and in truth. In the spirit of Sunday and the truth of Monday. In the spirit of the song and the reality of the report. And so I don't really have that kind of message today, but I promise you what the Lord has laid on my heart to speak will change this church forever. Luke 14, beginning in 16, if you have it, just shout, I got it. A certain man, this is Jesus speaking, red letter, telling a story, said a certain man made a great supper and he invited many people. He bade many, the Bible will say. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Somebody say, all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. First said unto him, man, I bought a piece of ground, and I got to go see about it. And I pray that you would have me excuse. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. And I pray that you would have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and he showed his Lord all these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, you know what? Go out, go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done, just like you asked, just like you commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go unto the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I need you to have an open heart and open mind and kind of go with me today. The title of my message today is very simple, and it is, Welcome Home, We Love You Already. I don't know when we started saying this. It was definitely in the old building. I remember seeing it online somewhere, and it grabbed my attention, and I said, I love that. I feel that's who we are. We are that church right there. And I made a sign, and I had it. I gave it to a few of our kids, and they would stand out in the parking lot, stand by the door with a big sign that said, Welcome home, we love you already. And it's been a part of our DNA since then. We say it every service, numerous times of service. We say it on Sundays. We say it on Wednesdays. Welcome home, we love you already. So today I don't feel like I'm preaching something brand new. However, I feel like the Lord wants to speak to us through this. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for what we feel, your power, your glory in this room. God, it is so tangible. We can feel you in this house, and I thank you for that. A lot of places are not, you can't be felt in those places today. But I thank you that you're here, that you visited us, that you came down in the moment of worship, and you let your glory settle on this house. And I pray today that you would speak to us through this word, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. And I pray, Lord, that you would make us those servants, those laborers that you prayed about in the New Testament when you told your apostles, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field. I pray, God, that we would be the laborers that the apostles prayed for. Use us today. Speak to us today. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Would you lift your voice with me now? Would you shout Jesus' name? Clap your hands, and you may be seated in his presence. Thank you for standing with us so long. As you're being seated, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, welcome home. We love you already. On the onset of my message today, I need you to know that there is a prepared supper. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bible will call it. There is a prepared place. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be with me also. There is a prepared place. This place, I need you to know this today, just like the story in our Bible, is now ready. All things are now ready. If it's not ready, it is getting very, very close. I don't know what will be served at this supper. I don't know if we have a collard greens or cornbread. I don't know what is in the menu for the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a few things I hope are going to be there because they are delicious and heavenly. And it'll be awesome to have that at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Eating at your mama's house is good, but eating it in heaven sounds really good. This place is prepared. This place is ready. The Bible tells us of this master who is going to have a supper. And we know from the story, we can glean a few bits of information. Here's the first thing. This master wanted to have people at his supper because upon preparation of the supper, he sent out invitations. Come, I'm preparing a supper. I would love for you to be here. I would love for you to participate. I would love for you to partake of this supper. And he sends out an invitation. And I'm pretty sure people RSVP'd. And they, yeah, man, we're going to come. However, when the servant goes out and he begins to bid them that have already accepted the invitation, hey, the dinner is ready. It's ready now. Come now. They're busy. They're busy with life. The Bible tells us that they, with one voice, begin to consent and make excuse. One said, hey, man, I bought some new property, and I got to go see this property. I pray that you would have me excused. One said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I really need to go and prove them. Got to go check them out, make sure they are what the seller says they are. And so I don't have time right now. Could you have me excused? And one had a really good excuse. He didn't even ask to be excused. He just told the hearer, the servant, he said, man, I just got married. And so you know I can't come. I got life. I got a relationship. So you know I'm not going to be able to make it. All of these people who were invited had excuses of why they couldn't come. There are many of us in this room today have made God so many promises. We have signed our RSVP. We've told God we're going to do this and we're going to do that. However, when the door was open, then it was time to actually do it, we didn't go. When it was time to put the rubber to the road, we didn't go. When it was time to actually put meat in the game, show up. Not just say we're going to show up, not just talk a big game, not just tell everybody what's going to happen, but actually go and do what God has called us to do. We refused the invitation because we were busy. Life is happening. I got land. I got success. I got relationships. I got things that I got to do, and so I can't make it. I can't come. However, there is still a supper. There is still food on the table. And so in the master's anger, upon hearing that nobody was going to come because they were busy, he decides, that's all right. This dinner will not go to waste. I need you to hear me today. God is going to have a church. Whether you're in it or whether you decide not to be in it, it don't matter. God's going to have a church. There is a supper prepared, and God is going to have somebody to partake of this supper. So the master said, I'll tell you what, go to the streets and the lanes of the city, and I want you to bring in the blind, the halt, the withered, the broken. You bring them in. Now, if you understand the context of the culture in which our reading is in today, you understand this is something that you do not do. You don't invite these kind of people into your home. This is out of character for the master that he would say, go get them. However, those that have already RSVP'd have decided they're too busy for it. And so the master said, you know what? I'll go find somebody who's hungry. Oh, yeah. I'll go find somebody who has an appetite. Yeah. Today, if you look around this room today, you're not going to find a bunch of millionaires, a bunch of people with high social status and pedigrees, because a lot of churches are filled up that way. Even Brother Mallory said it earlier, that when they went to the Philippines and started a revival, that they went to the doctors and the lawyers and the wealthy and the astute, but they were too busy to come to church. So they went down to Smoky Mountain to the landfill, and they found people who would love to come to church. They would love an opportunity to hear about this man called Jesus that died for their sin. They would love to know that there is a hope beyond past this point. They would love to know that there is a God that would give them redemptive lift. They would love to know that there is a dinner prepared. And guess what? You are invited. Welcome home. We love you already. We don't care where you're from, what you've done, what your background is, what your mama did, what your daddy did, even what you did last night. Don't matter. Welcome home. We love you already. This is your home. And we have already made up our mind about you. There is no red tape. There is nothing to fill out. There's no hoops you got to jump through. There's no barriers you got to jump over. When you walk through the door, welcome home. We love you already. We don't so much care about your past as we care about your future, because whatever happened yesterday is still in yesterday, but God could do something today that would turn your life around, pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground. There's some folks in this house today, if you could stand and testify, you could talk about where you've been, what happened, look at all of the mistakes of your life, but look what the Lord has done in your life. Welcome home. We love you already, no matter your past and no matter your present. We love you already. Come on in. Blind, halt, lame, hurting, broken, abandoned, abused, hurt, come on in the house. Welcome home. We love you already. Brother James Morrow, stand up for me. Yeah, Big James. I want everybody to turn around and look at that shirt. It says, I'm the 20th member. How about you, Truth Chapel? That's the 20th member of Truth Chapel right there. And when he walked in the door, it didn't matter. Come on in. Welcome home. We love you already. And if we're the kind of church that the 20th member is still in attendance, then you ought to know this is the kind of church that'll say, come on in. Welcome home. We love you already. If this is the kind of church where the 20th member is still in the church, still living for God, still, then you got to know this is the kind of place that we got to say, welcome home. We love you already. I refuse to become so professional in my Pentecostalism that I cannot open the door and say, whosoever will, come on. I will not get so high-minded. I will not get so high-hearted. I will not be so heavenly-minded that I can't look down around me and say, listen, I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what your past is. The door is open. Welcome home. We love you already. Why? Because I'm not the master in this story. I'm the servant. He has decided who he wants to invite. And it ain't our job to go outside and start looking at pedigrees. Oh, hear me, church. I don't want to be the kind of church that we all looking alike, dressing alike, talking alike. Look, this is not a convent. And we're not here to change you to come look like us. No, we want you to be like Jesus. And before some of you get so heady and high-minded upon hearing these words, I want to remind you, such were some of you. And you may be holy right now, but you wasn't holy back then. And thank God somebody gave you time enough to get yourself together. This ain't your supper. You didn't prepare it. This ain't your dinner. That ain't your chicken on the table. That ain't your turkey on the table. That ain't your collard greens. We're the servant. We got to go out and bring whoever he invited. And do you know who he invited? Everybody. Whosoever will.
Yeah.
We don't have no radars in this church. Look how they look. If you feel that way, this is not the place for you. You're probably not going to be very comfortable here. You probably won't go ahead and go somewhere else. Because we the kind of church that it don't matter who you are when you walk through the door, here's what we say. Welcome home. We love you already. We've already made up our mind about you. We love you. Welcome on in. Come on in. Have a seat. We ain't going to sit you in the back. You can sit up front if you want to. A lot of empty seats up front. Come on to the front. Sit down. Come be a part. Come be a part of the family. Come hang out with us. Why? Because we love you already. And this is not my dinner. I'm not the one who invited you. The Bible said it is the Spirit that draws men. I'm not the one who I'm just the one that's got to be willing to go out and say, hey, there's an invitation open. There's an invitation open. There's a dinner that's ready. There's a supper that's ready. Come on. Welcome home. We love you already. We've been saying this for a long time. I want to get to my second point today. Several months ago, this is how long this has been in my heart, several months. Several months ago, Brother Gary Jr. came and he said, Pastor, I got to show you this. He said, Lily Seitz was doing some kind of art and she was writing this out over and over again. Welcome home, we love you already. Welcome home, we love you already. Welcome home, we love you already. And as she was writing it out, She realized something in the art that she was doing. And Brother Gary, she showed Gary. Gary brought it to me. He said, man, it's just so cool. When I seen it, immediately I knew that's what I'm preaching on Vision Sunday. It was like a light went off in my head. Because every time we have said, welcome home, we love you already, we have also said, come home, we love you. It was right there the whole time. We just didn't see it. Come home, we love you. Because after he went and got the blind, the halt, and the lame from the lanes and the streets, he said, hey, we did that, and there's still room. He said, okay, go out further. Go to the highways and the hedges. Because the highways are always on the outside of the city. And the hedges are fences or barriers or boundaries that would stop people from coming in. So he said, I want you to go find the people that are on a journey. And I want you to go find people that are behind fences and barriers. And I want you to tear those barriers down. And I want you to let them know they're invited as well. Yeah. Those that are in transition, those that are in travel, those who have barriers in their way. I want to tell you today, come home. We love you. Who are you talking about today, Pastor? I'm talking about the backslider. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that have blocks in their way. They want to come home. But there's just stuff in the way. Hurt, pain, failure. Church hurt. Us hurt. God ain't never hurt them. It was us. But come home. We love you. Go ahead and come on home. And I know when I say the word backslider, some of y'all are like, yeah, backslider. Get them, Pastor. Backsliders. Backslider. We love it. We love that word, backsliders. But I've been backslidden. Some of y'all been saved so long, you don't know what that's like. But baby, I have slid back. Slippery, slidey. If I could moonwalk, I'll tell you right now, I would. I just can't. But if I could, I would show you how I backslidden. I slid all, slippery slide. I did the slip and slide all the way back. I slid out. And when you're backslidden, ain't nobody got to tell you backslidden. You know you backslidden. I don't need nobody sending me no homing pigeon to allow me to know that I'm backslidden. I'm backslidden and I know I'm backslidden. But the Bible talks about backsliders too. You know, we didn't make that word up, backslider. We didn't make that word up. That word's in the Bible. That's a biblical word. Backslider, backslidden. That is a biblical term. It's people that have turned their backs on God and they went the other way. They're backslidden. They used to be in the church and not in the church no more. They used to believe and now they're struggling with their belief. They used to be here, but now they're not here. And we look at them and we're like, oh, the backsliders. Look at the backsliders. And some of us have become so professional Christians that we get jaded at people that backslide like they left you. You mad. You holding grudges on people that left the church. Why? They didn't leave you. They might have left because of you. They ain't leave you. Let me tell you what God says about the backsliders. He told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backslidden Israel. Saith the Lord, come home, we love you. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Some of y'all need to be like God right there, because you done had your anger for the last 12 years. Some of y'all done had your anger since last Thanksgiving, when somebody put raisins in the macaroni and cheese. And you've been mad since. You can't let it go. Let that go. They was trying something they saw on Pinterest. Let them live their life. You are still mad. He said, I will not keep my anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed, here it is, against the Lord thy God. They don't owe me no apology. And they don't owe you no apology. Only thing they got to do is say, Lord, I recognize my transgression against God and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Verse 14, are you ready? Turn, O backslidden children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Before you go running your mouth about the backsliders, you got to know who they married to. God said, I'm married to the backslider. That's still my bride. That's still my children. Be careful putting your mouth on God's children. God said, I'm still their father. They're still my son. They're still my daughter. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care where you've been. Come home. We love you. God is married to the backslider. He said, I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Watch verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hear it in the house. Hear it online. Tell everybody you know, if you're a backslider, I want to be your pastor. Thank all 27 of you, it wasn't for you. If you're lost and you are backslidden and you are out of the church, God called me to this city to be your pastor. What are you going to do? I'm going to give you what the other church didn't give you. I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to tell you why we're doing what we're doing. I'm going to not only give you knowledge, but I'm going to give you understanding. Knowledge and understanding. God has called me to give you knowledge and give you understanding. I'm not going to hype you up. I'm going to tell you what God said. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the word, because you don't need to be hyped up. What you need to know is what God said and what's in the Bible. Tell every backslider you know, I know a pastor for you. Oh, hallelujah. I know what I'm asking for. I'm asking for people coming with all kind of trouble and all kind of trial and all kind of drama. That's what I'm asking for. But we got it already. Such was some of you. Some of y'all got more drama than Hallmark. You got drama and drama to spare. And I didn't ask you to leave. I didn't tell you to go find you somebody that can handle all this. No, I said, come home. I love you. Listen, we got to be ready for the prodigals that are coming home, church. You hear me? Because I believe I speak to the north, I speak to the south, the east, and the west, and I claim them in the name of Jesus. The prodigals are coming home. They're coming through the door, and we got to be ready to say, come on home. We love you. Well, what about what I did? What about what you did? I don't care what you did. I care what he did. And he died for your sins. He gave his life so you could be free. Come home. We love you. Come home. We love you. And when you come through the door, we are not going to interrogate you or ask you where you've been. We're going to be so happy to see you. We're not going to care about all that. Come on in the house. Come on to the supper. The dinner is ready. It's time to come on in. The dinner is prepared. Welcome home. We love you. Come home. Come home. In a few months, we're going to have a special Sunday called Come Home Sunday. And we're going to invite everybody and their mama and daddy. And we're going to tell them, this is Come Home Sunday. Come home. You don't know what I did. You don't know where I've been. We don't care. Come home. Come home. And when you come home, we're going to be excited for you. Naomi left Bethel and went to Moab. And when she got to Moab, her life fell apart. Elimelech died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. Her sons and her husband died. And she was left with two daughter-in-laws. And she told them, she said, She said, I got nothing. I can't do nothing for you. I'm too old. Can't even have no children. And if I did, by the time they got old enough to marry, you'd be too old. I got nothing. And in her last minute despair, in the lowest part of her life, she makes one single decision that will change the history of mankind. And guess what that one decision was? Go home. She said, I'm going home. And Orpah said, well, go home. God bless you. I love you. She loved her. She kissed her, and she went home. And Naomi said, Ruth, why don't you go home too? And she said, what is back for me there? You see, because when you make a decision to come home, there's no telling who's going to come with you. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. When you finally make a decision, you know what, I'm coming home, you have no idea who's going to say, you know what, I'm going to come with you. And when they got back home, here's what Naomi did. Naomi's like, oh, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. My past changed my name. I'm bitter. And I love that nobody in that book ever called her Mara. Girl, I don't care what happened out there. When you come back home, you still Naomi. There's a bunch of people out there right now, they're terrified to come back home because they're afraid of what we'll say about them. But this is the kind of church that when you come home, we ain't going to say, we're going to keep calling you what you was before you left. And if God called you to be a preacher before you left, baby, you still going to be a preacher. If God called you to be a minister before you left, you still going to be a... Because the callings of God are without repentance. And we're not here to judge, and we're not here to interrogate. Baby, if your name was Naomi before you left, when you come back, we still gonna call you Naomi. And the Bible says that when Ruth had that little baby, Obed, when she had that little baby, Obed, the Bible says she took the baby to Naomi. And the Naomi laid the baby on her chest, and she began to nurse that baby. And the ladies of Bethel, this is what they said. They said, Naomi has had a son. Because we're going to be excited for you when you come back into what you lost when you left. Y'all don't want to preach for me today. I'm giving you vision, and the reason I'm giving, I know some of y'all think this is just a message, but I'm preaching to you the vision of the church, because the vision of the church is a mindset. We got to have a mindset, because we're about to see overflow. We packed right now. We are packed in the 9 o'clock service, and not many days hence, we're going to be packed in the third one. Some of y'all not ready. That's fine. You don't have to come to the third one. I'm going to be here. I'll be the third one. It's going to happen. I prayed, Lord, make me uncomfortable. Because I knew before the turn of the year what I was going to preach today. And I knew that I am speaking into the heavenlies right now. And I'm calling those things that are not as though they were. And I'm speaking to the strongholds and the hedges. And I'm saying every fence has got to fall, every chain has got to be broken, and they're going to come home. And when they get home, we're going to rejoice with them when they get back what they lost when they left. We're not going to judge them. We're not going to side-eye them. We're going to say, come home. We love you. I got to move on. My final point. Welcome home. We love you already. Come home. We love you. And the Lord showed me this. Right in the middle of, we've always said this. We've always said this, welcome home, we love you already. But in the middle of it is come home, we love you. And the Lord showed me this. My third point, my last point today, come home already. Come home already. The door is about to close. Hear me in my best pastor's voice. What are you thinking? Get yourself to the house. You don't have time to play. You don't have time. Oh, this other day, it was so powerful. Tears in my eyes. My wife lost it. But on New Year's Day, we got our family around us, and we set goals as a family. And we went around the room, and each of us individually talked about the goals that we had for the year, and then we set some goals as a family. And as we go around the room, you know, Courtney giving her goals. You know, she's a college kid right now, so it's all professional. You know, and Sydney's done with high school now. She didn't walk, but she graduated just a few weeks ago. And she's got goals, and I want to do this and do that. And Colin was there, and Colin was giving us his goals. And then it got to Isaac. So, Isaac, what's your goals this year? Isaac said, I need to do more in the church. He said, this year I found out about the end times. And he said, I realize I don't got time to be playing around. He said, I'm probably going to see God come back in my lifetime, and I got to get busy. That's a 12-year-old boy. I wanted to say, whose child are you? It did something to my heart. I thought about this message today. Come home already. There's 12-year-old boys that are already filling the pool of eternity, and they are ready to get busy for the Lord. Some of y'all been sitting on your religion so long, it's flat. And it's time for you to go ahead, come home already. Stop playing around. You got giftings and ability and power in you that you know not of. So you got to get serious. What are you thinking? Get home. The end is near. The door is about to close. The supper is ready. God's coming back. Have you not been watching the news? It is closer now than it's ever been. And you going to play church? The devil is a lie. Come home already. What you're waiting on, don't worry. When you get here, we're going to love you. When you get here, we're going to be excited. But baby, hear the urgency. You ain't got time to play. Come home already. What are you waiting on? If you're waiting on an invitation, let this serve as your invitation. The door is open. Get in here before it closes. As Jerry Clower would say, gather your split-tail gown around you and get in the house. That means get your stuff together. That means get your house in order. Get everything you need to get and get in the house. We do not have time to keep playing church. What if it's more than three services? What if it's every day of the week? What if it's more? I'm closing. Music can come. My staff, my care pastors, my executive team, they'll tell you that what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I've never set a goal for growth at this church. I've never been worried about growth. The only thing that I've ever mentioned as a pastor of this church about growth, I mentioned to my wife before we ever started this church, and here's what I told her. I said, in 5 years, if we're running 150 people, I will feel like we've been successful. Well, at the five-year mark, we were close or over 300. Last week, we had 661. This week, probably around the same, well over 600. For 2000, and if you're here on business meeting, you get all these exact numbers, but in 2023, we averaged 583 in church on Sundays. But my team will tell you, I've never cared about that. Never been a part of my agenda. My agenda has never been to grow numerically. If you've ever heard my pastor's pledge, you know that I will be more concerned about names than I will be about numbers. Numbers is really not my game. We've just recently began to keep up. I can't tell you how many people we've baptized, Brother Mallory. You know, I'm sorry about that. I wish I could. But last year was one of the first years that we ever actually took a tally, and we baptized, what was it, Sister Lanise, help me? We baptized 65 people last year in Jesus' name. And tell me if I'm wrong, Sister Lanise, we baptized most of those on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Monday nights. Harley, We baptized 60-something people last year, and most of them were just on an off night. Somebody in the middle of Bible study saying, man, I want to get baptized right now. But growth, numerically, has never been a part of my agenda. I've always been like, what about health of the church? What about our spiritual status? Are we ready to receive? Are we really ready to say, welcome home? We love you already. Are we prepared for that? Who cares about numbers if you can't keep nobody? So my goals have always been the health of the church type goals. We've grown numerically, but what our growth is a byproduct of our focus. Our focus has been for us to grow, the church. That's why I always teach the word of God. Knowledge, understanding. Several times this year, and even last year, 2022, I started teaching books of the Bible, literally, scripture by scripture. Verbatim, no added, just straight scripture, teaching each verse, one by one. Entire books of the Bible. Why? Because my focus is knowledge. My focus is understanding. I want you to know why you're doing what you're doing. I want to bring you into context. I want to bring you into, listen, here's the deal. Peter told us, he said, here's the 8 steps to newness of life. The first one is faith. Add to your faith virtue, general morality. Be nice, be good. And the third one is knowledge. Add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge. After knowledge comes temperance, self-control, patience, loyalty, and longevity, godliness, standards, and a lifestyle. 7 is brotherly kindness. Because brotherly kindness is super high on God's 8-step program of newness. And number 8 is agape, charity, love for everything and everybody. Meaning you can't love everybody if you don't love your brother in the church. Don't you be going on no missions trip to some other country and you can't talk to somebody in the same building as you. That's not Christianity. You just want to go take pictures. This is why most of the New Testament sounds like this. If you hate your brother, you hate God. If you're mad at your brother, you're a murderer. Yeah. Get to the end of the New Testament and see what Peter and John are talking about. It's all about the church and us loving each other because they understand this is the pinnacle of Christianity. It's how we treat our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm sorry if you don't believe that, but I got Bible to prove it. But the third step in this to get to that place is knowledge, understanding. And I've always been concerned about the knowledge, understanding. That's why so many times in church I've said, guys, I know that our culture, our church culture, our apostolic culture, it says this, but this is not even in the Bible. It's just culture. Stop thinking like this. Stop trying to live your life like this. It's not in the Bible. God never said it. He never even insinuated it. You have to do hermeneutical gymnastics to get to some of the stuff that we believe. You got to jump through so many hoops. And I believe that we are at a place right now that anybody could walk through that door and find a room full of people that love each other. And when they find a room full of people that love each other, they want to be a part of that. Yes, this is the glue on the trap. We can sing good, and we do. We can shout good, and we do. We have a great facility. Yes, we do. We have all of that. But that is not how people know that we are God's real church. Here's how they know. Jesus told them, when they see how you love one another, then they will know that you are my true disciples. That is it. That is our identifying mark. That is the QR code. This is how we are identified. We identify with the place that says, welcome home. We love you already. And we love each other already. We're already here. Come home. We love you. This is a place where we will not judge you. We will not interrogate you. Just come home. We love you. And come home already. The hour groweth late. The sun is fading. Darkness is coming, and no man can work in the darkness. Let us work while it is yet light. Come home already. But this year, we're going to grow. Prepare to be uncomfortable. If you come and this place is packed, do not leave. You come in the parking lot and the parking lot's packed, don't leave. We'll find you a parking spot. We'll find you a chair. Don't go home. Just stay. Stand in the corner. Find somebody you don't know and talk to them. Smile at them. Ask them what their name is. Take them to lunch with you. Connect with somebody. We're about to start small groups. I would love for over 80% of our church to be involved in small groups. Why? Because you get to know people at small groups. You get to really fall in love with people at small groups. You get to connect with people on a different level at small groups. So we're going to have a lot of small groups available. I want you to get involved. Don't feel like it's going to be, oh, this is just something else. No, the Bible says that when we see the times coming and the end times happening, that we should get together all the more, that we should be together more, not less, more. That's biblical. Biblical. I know it don't fit with your calendar, and you might say, well, this is just too much, but it's biblical. And what will happen? What will happen when your seat is no longer available? What will happen when they're lined up all the way down to Grayson High School trying to get in here? What will happen when we start breaking ground on the land? But it will be too late. It'll be too late for us to be comfortable anymore. We have to be that place that says, welcome home, we love you. No matter how it inconveniences me, welcome home, we love you already. I'm ready to grow, church. For the first time in almost 11 and a half years, I feel in the Holy Ghost that we are going to grow. I'm ready to grow. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. I know what you're thinking because it's the same thing I'm thinking. I'm thinking the same thing. God, what are you doing? This would have been cool 2 years ago. Why now? Why grow now and we're already packed? Why put this desire? Why put this feeling on me? Why put this burden on me now? And we're in a place that we can't go anywhere. We don't have the money to build tomorrow. God, what are you doing? You know what God said? Nothing. Man, I know some of y'all were not ready for that. But he ain't said nothing to me. But you know what? Every time in my life and every time at this church when God has said nothing and I don't see any kind of way, you know what? I feel so comfortable right now. I'm like, Lord, this is your church, not mine. This is your supper that you've prepared. This is not my chicken. This is not my baked beans. This is yours. So however you want to do it, it's fine by me. I'm just going to be obedient to what I feel. And if it makes me uncomfortable, if it pushes me out of my comfort zone, if it pushes us out of our comfort zone, you know what, Lord? Have your way. The time is too short for us to start closing the door and saying, I don't know. No, 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 no. Welcome home. We love you already. Come home. We love you. Come home already. Come home already. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Would you stand with me right now? You stand with me all over the room.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.